To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast, coming to you from Gold Diggers Recording Studios in Los Angeles, California, in partnership with Consequence Podcast Network. We'll be getting to know some of your favorite comedians a little bit better, and so will they. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. On this week's episode of Long Time No See, the immensely talented Will Burkhart and Nicole Amy Schreiber. While the questions I'll be asking throughout the season remain largely unchanged, the relationships between our guests range from longtime friends to complete strangers. Please be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast and visit longtimenoseecomedy.com for live events near you. And without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourselves. Hey.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
So have you guys met before? Nicole, your mic's right.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, I gotta get my mic. I know how this works.
Yeah, hi.
How's it going?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
This is great.
So you guys can introduce yourselves for the listener here.
Hi, I'm Nicole Amy Schreiber. I'm a comedian here in Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm Will Burkhart. I'm also a comedian here in Los Angeles.
Right on. So you guys have obviously met before. How do you guys know each other? Do you remember when you met?
No, just some random show probably.
Probably, I feel like maybe Ponchos.
Oh, could be. Oh.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
Like a very long time ago.
Very well could be. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, I will see you once every 10 months.
Yeah, once every 10 months.
Forever.
But I always like seeing you.
Likewise.
I think you're like a good dude.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know you that well, but I think every time I see you, I'm always like, I like Will.
That's
Will's
nice.
A good person.
I appreciate it. I feel the same
yeah.
way.
And I remember I met your girlfriend who you're engaged to now, or,
no,
oh God, I
and
hope
who
not.
Who knows when this could have been? This could have been 6 years ago you met.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Still dragging it out, or are you still together?
No, but I'm saying it could be a different girl that you met. That's what I'm saying.
No.
So I've been with my girlfriend for like 4.5 years, and we're basically engaged at this point.
Okay, yeah, I think that might be it. I remember meeting her like in the belly room or something, and I liked her.
Probably, yeah.
She was cool.
I'm glad
I
liked her too,
a lot. Yeah, you're like, I'm with her. When are you gonna fucking propose already,
yeah,
goddammit?
Yeah. What
are you
here, I'm hearing this from both sides now.
Yeah, she, by the way, they brought me here today.
Yeah. Come on out, Kaylee.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, Kaylee, come on out. She hired me to
That's
do this.
That's literally been a topic of like, hey, like, let's do this already. Like,
yeah.
This, like this year.
How
like,
often
soon.
Do you guys talk about it?
Well, it's been like a recent thing, not in like a shitty way, but in like a real like, hey, let's make sure we're on the same page about
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
communicate about it. So it's like a thing that I have to like do.
I mean, you both of you guys, I'm assuming you're both in your 30s.
She's 29. I'm 31.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But we've been together for a while and I'm ready to rock.
Yeah. Get do it.
I know. I'm gonna.
Yeah. Yeah. Piss or get off the pot or
piss on her.
Piss on her. Please. By all means.
That's what we'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Please. You're like, do you? And she's like, I do. And you're like,
That's how they do things.
Waterboard her with some urea.
I mean, that's romantic.
Nothing says love like the sterilizing power of urine.
Good start.
Good start.
We're rocking.
Well, I got some questions here for you guys.
Okay.
What was your most recent bomb, and how does it compare to your worst bomb?
Oh Jesus.
God. I'm going to be honest. I ate shit in front of the new Booker at the Comedy Store, and I haven't gotten a spot since then.
When you say eat shit, though.
I mean, listen, like, I don't want to be like, it was the crowd, but I like my opening joke that like I do anywhere always crushes, and it did not do well.
Mm.
And it rattled me.
Oh.
It just shook me to my core because I was just like, I just gave you my opener that works. Literally, I've never done it in a room and it hasn't worked.
Ugh.
And it did not work. And I was like, oh, fuckity fuck.
I mean, rightfully rattled.
Yeah.
How does that not rattle you?
I mean, there was no way out of it. And then after that, I just kind of was like, I don't know. I was just on my heels for the rest of, but I wouldn't even say it was like a huge bomb. I mean, I don't want to be that person. I don't massively bomb anymore because I don't care. Like it doesn't affect me the way it used to. Like I can get out of anything. Like a massive, massive bomb is when you like don't know what to do.
I think if you are a working comedian,
yeah.
You don't eat shit.
No.
Unless you're super alt.
Yeah.
And then I knew it.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you, how long, I have a couple of follow-up questions. How long was the set?
So that was 15 minutes.
Oh, shit.
And it wasn't I was bombing the whole time. I just wasn't doing as well as I usually do.
Yeah.
And it kind of, it's also like it was the pressure of like her being there. And,
yeah.
And also just the fact that my opening joke was just crickets was really like demoralizing.
For the first time ever.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Brutal. Yeah.
Oy.
My worst bomb ever though. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing that sticks out in my mind where it's like haunting me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never really like cared that much.
Which is a superpower.
Yeah.
To not really give a
fuck.
The more I've done stand up, the more I've realized that's the key.
Yeah.
Is to do your best and don't care.
Yeah. You really got to just like let it go. Even in the moment, it's like you just got to, if it's not working, keep it moving.
I know. You're right.
Yeah.
The one for me recently, mm-hmm. I, again, like I'm not like eating shit and I'm pretty like universal. I try to make everybody laugh. Mm-hmm. I'm not niche. I'm not dirty. Like I keep it pretty clean.
Uh-huh.
But I did like open. Have you ever done like Comedy Magic in Hermosa?
No, I've never done it.
Really?
No.
So I did
I'm filthy. I mean, I'm a filthy comic.
There's
me like in Hermosa. They're like this mouthy Jew talking about her pussy. Like I am not the demo for Hermosa.
I mean, I'm also a mouthy Jew talking about his dick. So it's that.
Wait, you talk about your dick?
No, not really that much. Not there.
You see, I'd walk in there. I'd talk about your dick in there.
Oh, right. He pissed all over his fiance.
Yeah. I love it.
Anyways, and I did, on Saturdays, they do two shows, one at 6, one at 8. 6 o'clock in the small room,
mm-hmm.
8 o'clock in the main room. Small room's like 80, main room's like 250 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I opened the 6 p.m. show maybe a year ago, mm-hmm. and it's like an older crowd.
Yeah.
And it was like, I think I got one laugh, like the entire 9-minute set.
I really struggle with, what do you mean by older, by the way, like 50 plus?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's 6 o'clock. It's like 6 on the dot, cold opening, basically.
Yeah, walking into a room when it's still sunny out everybody's over 50. First of all, that's the early bird special of comedy. I mean, there's just, you're never going to win.
That's why I was like, whatever. That's not the role I should play in this show. The opening act, me?
Yeah.
I'm the youngest guy on the lineup.
Yeah, no. They need, to me, a 6 o'clock show in Hermosa Beach at that club for a crowd over 50, you need waitress diner from the 50s humor.
Totally.
Like just yuckety jokes where it's like the waitress who's like picks up the empty plates and they're like, oh, so it looks like you hated it. And that crowd's like, oh, please.
They need Frasier Smith. Yeah. He would fucking crush.
Murder. Yeah. I don't think Frasier performs there. Maybe he does. I have
seen him there before.
He does? Okay, yeah. Thank God. They're missing a golden opportunity with him. Yeah.
So that was not great. And I had to like redeem myself a couple weeks later when I did a very similar spot. But in terms
were
of
you
like,
able the, to redeem yourself
yeah,
later?
Yeah, that was like I've never had a
what
as
gear?
Bad
what
of a set.
Gear did you shift into for that made it
I think
doable?
It was just already a tough crowd. I think it was like mm-hmm. half full,
yeah.
And I just wasn't what they wanted. And I think the next time I had an early spot at that room, I was just I don't know, it just went better because that's how stand up goes. You're like the same thing. You do that same set.
Yeah.
An hour later, the improv
totally
crushes. So it's
there's no rhyme or reason.
That was the thing.
Do you feel like you? In some way, maybe in the next time, kind of like pander to them a little because they're older. Because like that's something I would do. I would be like, okay, I need to like really kind of tailor this a little more to like older people.
I think that's what I did next time. I remembered that they're going to be old.
Yeah,
and make us aware of what's happening, how early it is. Like, you guys are the crazy ones. It's 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
you guys be in bed by 8:30.
Yeah.
Something to like bring a little more awareness to the room. So now I know that going forward for next time.
I think there's moments like that where sometimes a bomb can be diffused just by like talking about the elephant in the room.
Yeah, you gotta acknowledge it at a certain point.
Yeah, you have to.
It's weird
you
if you're
really
just
do.
Bombing and just gulping.
You know what? I feel like, have you ever been on a show with Rick Ingram?
No, but I've watched him coming up.
Okay, following Rick Ingram, it's like following a magician. Where it's like, you have to acknowledge the fact that you just watched someone pull a rabbit out of a hat.
In what way? In what sense? Because I've watched him.
Because what he does is nothing short of magic. Like his crowd work and then his ability to weave it into his material is so seamless.
Yeah.
You're you can't figure out what is crowd work. And even though I've watched him 8 million times, you can't figure out what's crowd work and what's material. So you kind of just have to go. He creates this whole world. So he'll be doing crowd work and he will thread the whole room together. So he'll be like, he'll identify a group over there and he'll like get names and then he'll, you know, give the group a name. So now that group has a name and we know the names of some of the people. And then here he'll do the same all around the room. So by the end of his set, the entire room is all in on this joke together. So for you to get on stage and just go into your material would be insane. Like you have to go in there and be like, oh, there's the bros from Poughkeepsie. Yeah. And then like Jen and Eric are on their third date. Yeah. She's getting fingered right now. Yeah. You know, it's like you have to somehow dip back into the world that he's created just to be like, hey guys, I am acknowledging what just happened. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to go into my shit.
Yeah, that transition's so important. Mm-hmm. That makes me think of actually at Comedy Magic, I've followed real magicians.
Yeah. By the way, following a magician, following a musician, musical comedy, and following Rick Ingram. The three hardest things you can do. Three hardest things you can do in comedy.
I had a spot one time years ago where I opened for a band.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're not there. They're like, hurry it up, bro.
Well, they're also there to see a group of people here to see music.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't just be like, hey, dating's crazy.
Yeah, you're like, I'm the fluffer, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. I'm here to get you guys kind of worked up. Yeah.
For a different thing?
For a totally different thing. And also the inherent nature of music is people are there to hear the same songs.
Yeah.
Like, this is a group of people who are like, they want what they know, and you are not at all what they know.
Even close. And so I went on stage and said, like, hey guys, I'm Will. I'm going to do some stand up. Like, soften the entry.
Yeah, yeah.
And a woman in the front row looked me in the eyes and said, oh no. So that was brutal.
Yeah, that is really brutal. Oh no. It's, yeah. I mean, you know, that is, if I were, you know, I saw the Black Keys the other night at the Greek, and another band opened for them. And like, they were good. They were fine. I know some of their music, but overall it's just everybody was kind of like chatting while they were on stage. And I felt so bad for them because it's like, these guys are living their dream right now. Like, they are opening for the Black Keys, one of the greatest rock and roll bands, arguably ever. At least in my opinion, we can debate that. Anyone disagree? I don't give a fuck. At the Greek Theater, which is, you know, a historic place to do music. And like, they're opening for them. And everybody's just chit-chatting during their set. And I'm just thinking, like, how rough that is. Because it's like, you've opened for big names. I've opened for big names. And it's always sick. It's always, like, unbelievable because everyone's there for comedy. But there is part of me that's like, oh, I probably get the same response from people that we're giving to this band right now opening for the Keys. And that, like, kind of hurts.
We know what that feels like.
Yeah.
But what's nice about comedy, though, is they have to be silent or else they get in trouble.
Yeah.
And so they have to. Like,
they have to. But they're not fully. They're checking out the menu. They're figuring out what they want.
For sure. But at least at least their attention is a part of it.
Yeah.
That band is like, they don't. Like, no one gives a fuck.
Yeah, no one gives a fuck.
And so they're great. But again, and even, I bet they even, the music sounds different because they're sound checked it for the other band and stuff like that.
Totally.
I went to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. This was like, I mean, 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And the opening was like Mars Volta.
Yeah,
remember that
Mars
band?
Volta. Totally
and
remember,
they were like
a
headache.
Yeah.
The whole band's a mess. And and they were playing into the mics that were for the Chili Peppers. And so that shit was great. It was like way up. And everyone was like, these guys suck. Like, what is this chaos? And soon, and then later, of course, they're like this massive band. And I was like, they sucked.
I mean, it's hard. It's a Sisyphean feat to open for a really big band.
Yeah.
It really is. And I mean, I don't think it's as hard, you know, for a comic, but I love opening. Like, when I open for Attell, I'm like, oh, give me this crowd.
Really?
Truly the best. There's nothing. The only other person I've opened for where I love their crowd that much is Bobby Lee.
That's so funny you said that, because that's the one I was going to mention of. I opened for Bobby and he never even saw me do stand up.
Yeah.
He took me to Denver on a sold out weekend. And
Denver,
like,
Comedy Works?
First time opening.
Too good.
He'd never seen me on stage. Someone like recommended, Brent Morin like recommended. He was like, you should take Will. And Bobby's like, okay.
Yeah.
Crazy. Never seen me before.
Amazing.
In a half hour.
Amazing. By the way, Brent Morin's word is obviously worth everything.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Shout out.
That's an amazing club with an amazing
first
following.
Time there,
yeah, I mean,
was like, oh my god, I was in my set like, thanks Denver. Like,
Totally. Like, oh. I was with him in Chicago and I got off stage and I was like, I'm ready for my Netflix special.
For real?
I was like, I'm a hero.
God.
Nice. If you guys were headlining a comedy tour with historical figures, who would you put on your lineup? And where would you go? So, you know, you can headline, you can feature, you can host.
Oh, always feature. Are you kidding? Why would you ever headline? The pressure of a headline? No.
Whoever's opening, what, Thomas Jefferson's opening for you?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. He brought all of his slaves too. I can't. It's going to be great. It's always a win.
God, historical figures.
Historical figures. Marie Antoinette post beheading. Okay, I want her there. I want her there. I want her holding that head like it's a soccer ball.
I'll open for Shakespeare.
Okay. Yeah. You'll open for Shakespeare?
Because we're so different.
Feature for him or host?
Two-man show.
Oh, I love it.
I'll do both. Yeah. And the Shakespeare.
Will and William.
Yeah. The Will Tour. Yeah. Let's go. We're going to be very different. That's good. Yeah. Yin and Yang. Oh, dude. Sign me up.
Oh, this is great. That's really funny.
Because people would also think, because of how sick Shakespeare is, it almost makes me look better because I'm not even doing the same sport.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we like these. They're very, it's like one guy does like poetry and one guy's like rapping. That's how it feels. Yeah. Like, even though those are very basically the same thing.
They're basically the same thing. Yeah. One's just got music.
Really good with analogies.
But for some reason, I'm imagining Shakespeare. What's that musical? The historical musical?
Hamilton.
Hamilton. I'm imagining Shakespeare like getting kind of Hamilton-esque with it.
Oh, he's killing.
Yeah, he'd kill. He'd kill. If Shakespeare started singing, game over.
Forget, that's why I'm opening.
Game. Bye. Yeah. Shakespeare sing. So this is your dream lineup. You're opening featuring for Shakespeare headlining who also sings.
Yeah.
And raps.
Yeah. And raps.
Yeah. Because then the crowd's ready to rock. I'm just doing my thing out of there eating chicken tenders. He's crushing. Yeah. And we're out of there. He'll help me with some jokes and try to like get me some like little like transitions.
Yeah.
Soliloquies.
That's really, I love a soliloquy. You got to have an epiphany at somewhere in the set.
At some point.
Yeah. You should just end at the epiphany. See? Like you don't need any reckoning after that.
Yeah. Like, and then who wrote this tag? Shakespeare. Yeah. Okay. No, literally.
And then you get to fuck King Lear's daughters.
I have a fiance that I pissed on, so I don't. That doesn't apply to me.
You can piss on his daughters too. No. I mean, pretty much pissed on one of them anyway. Making a Shakespearean reference on a podcast. Okay. I mean, who would I pick? Marie Antoinette was fun, but what historical figure would
Abe Lincoln came to mind as like, I would like to follow Abe Lincoln because if he teed up, like, let's free the slaves and then everyone's stoked and then I come out and I'm like, let's just have fun. They're like, we're ready for it.
I mean, you look like a slave owner. So,
well,
I mean,
I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You get out there and you're like, I let them go too. I didn't want him anyway. Neil Brennan has this joke. He's like, you know, I always wanted to do this on the Chappelle show, but they never got to do it. And he's like, I always wonder what it would look like on the last day of slavery. Like, there's some guy giving a speech to the slave where he's like, all right, guys, so that's it. We had a good run, but I'm going to ask you guys to head on out. We have got some Mexicans coming in to replace you. Love that joke. I think I would probably pick a female historical figure for sure. And that's not because I'm a feminist. I mean, I am a feminist, but I just think, I don't know, like someone like, I mean, actually like Marie Antoinette would be cool. Joan of Arc, Cleopatra, you know, Cleopatra, she invented tampons.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know if someone told me that, but I'm going to go with it.
Now, what's funny
I heard it on Instagram, so it must be a fact.
What's funny is I'll believe that forever.
Yeah. Well, I do believe the Egyptians, tampons originated during Egyptian times. I don't know if she was the, you know, the creator on that.
No.
For sure, eyeliner was her thing. I mean, very strong eyeliner game.
A big Sephora should be like her whole
thing. Yeah, they should just rename it Cleopatra instead of Sephora.
We also have tampons now, too.
Yeah. God, I love tampons. You just shove cotton up there and just soaks up, dries, and then you just pull out a uterine lining. Crazy.
totally.
But I mean, obviously if I'm on a lineup with Cleopatra, she has to headline.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I feel like she'd kill me.
Tough follow.
Real tough follow. Whatever you want.
Yeah. Whatever you need.
All right. Yeah. What's next? What else you got?
We got, if you died and you got put into a room for eternity with people who died the same way, how would you want to die?
I mean, something heroic, probably. So I'm in a room full of like heroes. Selfless, nice people, probably. Yeah. I mean, that's the real answer. That's not the funny answer. That's the me
What's
taking
the funny
seriously.
Answer?
I haven't thought of it yet. I thought of mine.
Mine is funny and also serious.
Perfect.
I would want to be in a room full of people where everybody committed suicide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I would just want to talk about what everybody wrote in their note.
Yeah.
Their goodbye note, their suicide note. Mm-hmm. I just like, you know, anytime I hear that somebody died and killed themselves, I'm always like, well, what'd they say?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Because there's this part of me, I've never read a suicide note. I mean, I'm sure I could Google and find one, but I've never, you know, I've known a lot of people who've killed themselves, but I never got to see like the note. Mm. And there's always this part of me that's like, I just know like the way my brain works. Like if I ever read that note, like I would be correcting grammar as I read. Like I would be, I would get upset about like bad punctuation. Like I just know, like I wouldn't be able to not do that. Anyway, so I'd want to, I don't know, just, I've always found suicide fascinating. You know the suicide forest in Japan?
Mm-hmm. Is that where people go to commit suicide?
People go to commit suicide, yeah. Wow. So I would probably want to be with everybody who is in the suicide forest. Because it's just, I don't know, man. Like, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Everyone's just did it so unoriginally, not unique. Everyone just did it.
But it's like, I don't know. It's like, do people, is everyone like going there and just doing like pills, you know? Hanging, slitting wrists. Also, like, at this point, do they have, like, a cleanup crew for the forest?
You read my mind. That was my next question of, like, how does that work?
There's just the janitor, like, with his arm on his broom at the end of the day. He's like, it's all right, it's six. Like, I feel like we're good. He's like, I got bodies to scoop.
Clocking in.
And he's the guy who collects all the notes. What if he gets the notes confused? He mixes up.
Oh, no.
Eventually, he just starts stapling them to the bodies. He's like, I'm not going to get these mixed up again. I want their families to have proper closure.
Yeah, and a staple remover.
Yeah. They're there with the staple remover the thing, little pincher.
That's what comes with the casket.
Oh, got it. Yeah, funny.
If you guys... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. So he's heroic and I'm suicide. All right, on to the next.
Sounds good. You'd have good company in the suicide one. I mean, Anthony Bourdain and Kurt Cobain.
Oh my God, are you kidding? Yeah, the 27 Club?
Yeah, 27.
There's a lot of 27 Club that's suicide. Mm-hmm. Even the ones who are like, I want like accidental overdose in there too, you know? Like I want someone who went like hard in the paint, you know?
Well, they'd wake up there and be like, oh, fuck.
They'd be like, oh man, I fucking, I overdid it.
It'd be a lot of, it'd be a lot of addicts, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of, overdid it,
Bummers. Overdid and they're there with no note.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's the point?
Come on.
I was like, you left everyone hanging back on Earth. How do you feel about it? That's what you have to look.
Literally, some of them.
Please stay tuned while we share a message from our sponsors. Thanks to our sponsors. Now, let's get to another question. If you guys could see any statistic about your life when you died, what would it be? Sticking in the death vein.
Dark episode. Any statistic about your life?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like you die, you know, live a long, happy life, but then you get to see one thing about, you know, your life. You know how many steps you walked or whatever
This is such a lame answer, but it has to do with like stand-up. I would want to know, like going back to the original question, like like great sets versus like bombing sets.
Yeah.
And being like, because there's probably not like a ton of bombing to be like, nice, I did a good job.
Yeah.
I did okay.
Yeah.
That's the first thing that came to mind.
So you're validating your ego.
For sure.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's been such the focus of like just doing stand-up, get good at stand-up. It's been like my last like 10, 11 years. So it'd be nice to see a statistic of like, you're good. I'm like, oh, I guess I am good.
Yeah.
That's something like that.
Oh my God, I feel so bad for you. That feels like such a weird thing to want.
I know,
like,
but I'm just going off of the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah,
so I'll
think
of another one.
Okay, think of another one. Because like right now I want to give you a hug. Like if that's what you want for your afterlife. You're like, I just need to know that everybody really liked me. And I was good enough.
I know. Yeah.
Well, some people have said how many people I've made laugh.
Oh yeah. That'd okay. Cool.
So I actually was gonna say something like, not how many people I made laugh, but how many people, whether it was like on stage or off stage, how many people I in some way changed the course of their day or life.
That's great.
Like who was like having like just a really god awful day and I said something or did something, or like even if it was like a perfect stranger, like I helped someone cross the street. Like how many people did I in some way change?
Yeah.
Either like big or small. Cause it's like, why are we here if we're not here to like affect change on the smallest level?
You have my vote.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice. Those are both great, yeah. If your voice popped into the heads of everyone on Earth at the same time, what would you say?
Who farted?
That's great.
I don't know. I mean, like...
Because they'll probably laugh.
Yeah, they'll probably laugh. Turns but it, I think it's always like... When I was at the Black Keys the other night, I was standing there. I was with Catherine Blanford. And I turned to her. I go, someone around me keeps farting. And she's like, by the way, the second you start saying someone around me, she's like, if the next thing is farting, like, or has to do with farting, she's like, no need to say it.
Yeah. Did you find the culprit?
No, but I eventually just started farting too. Cause yeah. I was like, well, if they're going to do it, I'm going to do it too.
Do you fart on planes?
Oh yes. Are you kidding?
My God,
oh my
okay.
God. Absolutely.
Jesus.
My body is like, first of all, I have IBS. The fact that I'm not shitting my pants on a plane is like crazy. Yeah. 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 So it's like when I get on a plane, like the pressure in my body, like isn't the pressure in your body? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, for sure. That's
so. Are you farting?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple times where like it's so like because you do it and you don't react, you have to just pretend like it's not you and just don't like.
Yeah, you can't be like, where's that smell coming from?
What's going on? Huh? You gotta be just not like in your phone, not looking. But like, there's been a few where I like haven't stopped and it smells really bad. And I have to, it's so uncomfortable. I have to get it out. And I'll just be fucking stone faced. Like, it can't be me. Like, if someone looks at me, they're like, well, he's so locked into his show. There's no way he's farting. He's too cool about it. If it was that gross, he'd be like, being all weird and fidgety and like, does anyone smell it?
A fart that bad, the guy should be sweating. Like,
yeah, right, exactly. He's way too cool. He's too calm. It's not him. There's no way.
Yeah. I always figure like, I look like this. So it's like, I don't think anyone's going to look at me and be like,
no
this
way.
Is the girl ripping ass.
Like, I
look like I'm like trying to figure out what to name the new TI-82 calculator. Like, I'm like...
Literally, I would never think, oh, it's for sure her. But that's
probably
who is farting the whole time with people who look like you.
Now the sleeper cells of farting are the nerds.
I think, what I would say in people's ears is I would say it's not that big of a deal.
Oh, just letting everybody off the hook.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Relax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. That's really sweet of you.
Yeah. Who is your celebrity crush and what would your opening line with them be?
I was talking with somebody about this the other day. I don't have celebrity crushes.
I don't care about celebrities.
I don't watch any reality TV.
Yep, I don't either.
Like I don't follow. I mean, there's a few celebrities I follow on social media, but I'm not following them because I'm like, I'm a huge fan. It's just like, you're entertaining.
Yeah.
Growing up in Michigan, my friend's dad was Alan Trammell.
I don't know who that is.
Baseball player, shortstop for the Detroit Tigers.
Was I supposed to know who that is?
I mean, if you like baseball, yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys know baseball? Are you baseball?
Or do you know this guy specifically?
Do you guys know who Alan Trammell is?
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, I'd always get really uncomfortable around my friend's dad because I was always like, your dad's a legend.
But what is it, a crush though? Or is it more just like, oh, he's so prestigious?
It's not a crush. It's just like, I'm blown away by athletes.
Yep.
I love, there's so many, like if I met O'Neal Cruz, another baseball player, he's on the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'd lose my shit. Like, I wouldn't know what to do. But it's not like I have a crush. Like, I don't have crushes on people I don't know. Like,
yeah,
that's so weird.
For sure. I feel the same way. And I have the same thought about athletes. I'm like a little girl if I see an athlete. This happened like recently.
Yeah.
I saw like Klay Thompson, the basketball player.
Yeah.
And
not a basketball person.
Do we know who this is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. It's so funny.
Better
no
statistics,
idea.
Though.
Okay.
I win for my athlete reference. And it was like to the coffee shop that we go to all the time. And me and my girl, we were like this. And I saw him like from afar. And I turned us around and went back to game plan how to handle the situation.
And how did you handle it?
I was like super cool when I like walked in. It was like on the way out. Like we both stood at the same time. I like fist bumped. Like, yo, what's up, man? But other people were doing it too.
You fist bumped him? Okay, other people were doing it.
And
I was like,
also fist bumped
no.
a super famous football player in Erewhon like a week ago, Christian McCaffrey. And he was the most handsome guy I think I've ever seen in my life. And I fist bumped
Are you a
him.
Football guy?
Enough to I watch on Sundays.
Do you know who Dahani Jones is?
No.
Anyways, he was a football player.
It's
like
the
only football player. I went to University of Michigan.
Oh, okay.
He was there when I was there.
Okay.
And then he dated a friend of mine. And then I was in the airport in New York. And I saw him. And I was like, and he we know each other. And I was like, Dahani. And he was like, hey, girl, what's up? And he was I was just like.
Oh, sick.
No one knows who he is. He's an ESPN announcer now.
Oh, I probably know. I probably recognize him.
Yeah.
Okay, great. You should fart in front of him, see if he thinks it's you.
Yeah. anyway. Yeah.
Not using a scale of 1 to 10, how attractive are you? So not using a scale of 1 to 10.
Not using a scale of 1 to 10.
Toasters?
Any scale, yeah. Somebody said air fryer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Could be kitchen appliances.
How? Because I can't think of what the scale would be.
I can't figure out how hot I am. I mean, I know I'm not ugly.
I think I can answer this almost for both of us. I don't think anyone would look at us and be like, that person's ugly.
Yeah, no one would think we're ugly.
I don't think, like, maybe they'll be like, oh, that's not my type. Like, yeah, I'm like short. They'll be like, oh, I don't like guys who are.
Are you short?
I'm like 5'8", 5'9". So, like,
oh, really? You read taller.
Nice. Yeah, I'm glad I came today.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 5'9", and I always thought you were taller than me.
Great. But anyways, I feel like that's what I would. That's why I like to think is like no one would be like, oh God, that person. Not that people. Other people react that way when they see someone ugly.
Yeah.
But I think
that when I see ugly people, I freak out. Yeah.
Whoa.
I'm like, ooga. Like, but the opposite of whatever ooga is. I'm like, ugo. So stupid.
Yeah, I think that's how I'm gonna answer that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess I'm like, out of 10, I'm like, you know. Four snowballs? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good. Four's good.
I'll take a 4. Yeah. That's fine. I mean, I'm, you know, whatever. I'm also like, you know, I'm older, so I'm starting to melt like a snowball. So, you know, that's what happens. Four. That's what happens when you're a woman. You just fucking melt. And then men just get progressively hotter the older you get.
That's pretty crazy that that's still happening.
Yeah, I know.
That's still a thing and it sucks.
Yeah, it's awful.
I'm sorry.
You know what's really funny to me? And I'm trying to write a joke about this right now. But the fact that the male gaze in the history of the world has always been so important, and how women are perceived is like the level of perfection that has been required of women throughout humanity is so much so that when the technology presented itself to either create breast enlargement or penile enlargement, male scientists were like, we got to do something about these titties.
Yeah.
We can work on our dicks later, but we can't keep looking at these flat pigs, you know? Give these girls some fucking tits.
We want some 8 snowball women.
Yeah, yeah, we need 8 snowballs. Right now we're dealing with 1 snowball, and then there's this other chick who's just a mouthy Jew.
Nice. If you met your 13-year-old self, but you could only tell them 3 words, what would you say to them?
God, mine aren't as funny as I wish I would like them
to
be.
Yeah, mine's
like,
pretty deep.
Real ones. These ones are
I was going to say, like, you got this.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
You got it.
They're usually encouraging. Yeah.
I mean, it's really just 2 words. Love yourself.
Mm.
Love Girl. Yourself. Love yourself. Hun.
Yeah, queen.
Queen, love, oh God. Love yourself, queen.
That's great.
Yeah, love yourself. Yeah, great. I feel like that's the thing I probably have, to this day, I've always struggled with, like, just, like, loving myself.
For sure.
Self-love is, it's a motherfucker.
It's got the big, that's the big one.
And before we continue, let's take a moment to thank our sponsors. We appreciate our sponsors for their support. Now, let's get back to the good stuff. If you won $1 billion, is there something you still wouldn't buy? Yeah, you just won $1 billion. What are you still not buying?
Fake tits. Still not buying them. They don't look natural enough. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a pair of fake tits and been like, those are fucking natties.
Even like the most.
Even the most expensive ones. Thank you so much. I just think like there's nothing better than like just a big set of naturals. Like just the way they, just I love the hang of a tit, you know? Right. And you can't get that with a fake boob. They're always high beams and I'm just like not into it.
Fair. Okay.
No,
it's too late. What are we about to
say? Okay, yeah.
Just
I just don't want to shit on the women who do have fake tits. You and your fake tits, I love
I think
them. They're
doing
great.
Just
they're doing just fine. Yeah, they're doing fine.
You
But I just, yeah.
What I still not buy? I almost would like a Rolex watch for like 20K.
I will never understand people who buy Rolex watches. I think they are so ugly. I'm so unimpressed by them. Like, you're buying a watch that literally everyone has.
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, go get, like, a rare, cool, vintage watch that, like, no one's heard of. Like,
totally.
Anything but a Rolex. There's just nothing. And people think of it as a status symbol. I'm like, to me, access to money isn't status. It's having money and taste that, to me, is, like, status.
First, it's just to, like, I've looked it up for fun. Like, what would it be to buy one? And it's so much money that I'm like, it doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense.
It's money
who cares?
That just, I can't
imagine. Yeah, and it's like, it's so dumb. It's
now
so
check
dumb.
Check your phone. It's that time.
Yeah.
Nice. If you were a ghost haunting one specific location, where would it be and how would you mess with people?
I would I would haunt like a coffee shop, like a nice coffee shop that has a code to the bathroom. And I would, and I would, when they'd get the code from the person, I would like change it on the bathroom. So they go up and enter and it doesn't work and they have to shit so bad.
Oh, and then just everybody shit in their pants.
Yeah. And be like, who can make it? Like they have to go back again and be like, what was it? I forgot, 135. Yeah. What was it? And then they go back and then I make them do it like two times to see if who can.
And you're trying to get people to shit in their pants.
Just to see who like, maybe would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep track. Maybe do like a reality show just for like, my ghost friends.
And then in your next ghost life, you're like checking the statistics of who you made shit their pants.
That's like baseball cards. Yeah.
It's really funny. I don't know. That's a really, my dad used to do this thing to me when I was a kid and I always thought it was so funny. He would take me when he would take me to the pediatrician and I'd get on the scale. He'd always put his foot on the back of the scale.
Good bit. Mm-hmm.
Good bit.
That's a really funny bit. And I kind of want to take
so
that.
I think I would want to haunt like a Weight Watchers.
So mean.
And just constantly step on the scale when like the big girls are weighing in.
Oh my God. Like,
they've been working so hard counting their points and I'm just like doopy doopy doo.
There's 10.
Yeah. And I'd always be like, what, I gained 30 pounds? And every time my dad did it, I was always like, Dad. It was just that, like, to me, that's like expert level dad joke. So yeah, I think I would want to haunt people just making, doing dad bits.
That's such a good bit. Yeah. Wow.
Nice. What was the worst fad you guys were into?
Like, I don't think worst, because every fad is there for a reason.
Yeah.
Like skateboarding, like Tony Hawk.
Were you a skateboarder?
Skateboarding. I wanted it to be so bad. Yeah. I couldn't do it. I don't know what it is, but I couldn't figure it out. But I would like have all the gear, like all the street wear and the bracelets and the spiky hair. And I loved like the whole culture and I was so bad at it, but I was so into it.
Why were you so bad? Where'd you grow up?
In like the Bay Area.
Okay. That is a skateboarding area.
I don't know what it was. Too Jewish maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, way too Jewish. Yeah. Allergy season's hard for
literally,
us.
Yeah.
Skateboarding, not our thing.
No, just like the culture of like, and it was so like, all like the like angst and all the music and the whole thing. So
you're like, I don't have angst. I have anxiety. Okay. Yeah. Like there's a big difference. Angst, anxiety.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's like
that's,
but again, there was a time and a place for it and it felt appropriate at the time.
Yeah.
So.
I think I never really got into any fads. I think I was just kind of like too weird of a kid, maybe. I feel like when I went to college, I started to like get into fads because I was like, there's part of me that was like, all right, well, now's my time to like reinvent myself and kind of like be part of the mainstream and not be like the weird kid. And then I remember in college, like there was all these girls. I went to University of Michigan and there was a ton of girls from Long Island and just these jappy Long Island Jews. And they all just rolled in with like black pants and like their black shoes. And like everybody just like looked this certain way and, you know, bought clothes from Urban Outfitters. And I remember seeing all of them and being like, that's going to be me. And I remember getting this clothes, wearing like tube tops, joined a sorority. I was in a sorority for 1 month.
Whoa.
And I was like, this is so not me. I was like, I don't think anything could be less me. And I quit. I was like, I can't. So I guess like, I wouldn't even say like fads, but like whatever anyone's doing, I'm usually just kind of like too uncomfortable and nervous of a person to do it. So.
For sure. That's almost how I felt. I look back on like drinking and partying.
Yeah.
Like drinking a lot and that's like your night.
Yeah.
That like I really makes me like cringe when I think about that.
Yeah. So
it's like,
cringe.
It's
yeah.
So awful and it's like poison and I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah. I truly like never did. I was never a drinker
even
ever.
In like college or anything?
Not even in college.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
And I could get dark about it and tell you like the origin of like why I don't drink. But like, yeah, I just feel like I guess I just kind of in my mind, I was like, bad things happen when you drink. So don't drink.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great way to go about it.
I mean, I was literally sexually assaulted twice when I was drunk. And so after that, I was like, we're good. We don't need to do this anymore. Yeah. So whenever I see like young girls who are drunk, I'm like, who is responsible for her?
For sure.
Where are your friends? Who's getting her home? One of you better be sober. You need, I don't care. No woman left behind.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's fucking terrifying.
It really is.
Yeah, when I see drunk girls, like when I go, when like even at the comedy club, when I see girls that were just sloppy, I'm like, boo.
Yeah.
Like, not only is this a bad look, you look like trash, but like someone's gonna fucking take advantage of
it's
you.
Pretty bad.
And you're gonna go the rest of your life thinking it's your fault.
Mm. And I also, hopefully, like, I feel like less people are drinking now. Less young people, I think, are drinking. And hopefully just that, like,
continues. God, I hope so. Because, anyway.
All bad.
What is one thing people wouldn't believe is true about you?
That I'm 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
I don't know if you have one, but I think, like, how I'm, like, super OCD and, like, neurotic and, like, germophobic.
Okay.
And I think I play it off pretty well.
Yeah, you do play it off pretty well because I have pretty intense OCD. Yeah. But I feel like I read as someone who has OCD.
Like, it's a constant battle. Yeah. It's a constant thing in my head. And I feel like I kind of just act like it's not. And I'll just – I've been better about it now. Like, I'll just keep the fist out until – and then you have to do what
I do.
Oh,
you won't even shake hands?
I don't want to, no.
Yeah.
I'll high-five to you because we're doing a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would love to never touch anyone's hands ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm trying to be better through, like – I want to
get
better.
Do you eat pussy?
My girlfriend's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know how many germs are on that? You know how many germs are on that? Like, literally, it's a cesspool.
If it's
literally, like, yeah, but if you put her pussy in a petri dish, it would grow a lot.
Drink that up. No, I mean,
give me that auger.
No, ruin it. Yeah.
You just smear it on a cracker, like it's tapenade.
But I have thought about if how bad my OCD has gotten, though, if I was single as like a hookup guy, how I'd have such a hard time with that. That's like so nasty.
Yeah.
And thinking about it in college or whatever, like, whatever, like you make out with a random girl or whatever, I'm like, that sounds disgusting nowadays. Yeah. So I'm exactly where I should be.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Great. That's what's keeping you faithful, your OCD.
Now, the petri dish, that's what I'm there for. That. It's delicious.
Oh, man. What would surprise people about me? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what people think of me.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too. Like, I don't know, like, what everyone's notions are.
That you're the one farting on the plane, I guess.
I'm the one probably. I'm the one farting on the plane. Or I don't think people realize, like, how much I cry. Like, I am a highly sensitive person.
I feel that.
Like, I cry a lot.
Every day?
Like, a couple times a day.
Couple?
Yeah.
Are we talking about, like watery
heaving,
eyes?
Heaving cry.
Like,
heaving cry. I would say watery eyes multiple times a day, but I probably like cry really, really, really hard at least once or twice a day.
Or twice?
Yeah.
Is it twice a day sometimes?
I'm highly, highly sensitive. I found out that there's this thing, it's called HSP. So I'm an HSP.
You know what's funny is like, I think I am too.
Yeah.
I'm not a crier, but I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm
no,
like,
I'm
super empathetic to a point of like.
To the point. If I see someone crying, I'll start crying.
Whoa.
Like I can't. It is a huge thing for me.
Can you think of what's like a recent thing that wasn't dark that made you cry? Like something more like lighthearted or something?
I saw
like
a guy helping an old lady across the street.
And you were like, oh,
I was just like the humanity. I think humanity is one of the most beautiful things in the world.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
All right.
It crushes me. Like the weight of a beautiful moment, the weight of like watching someone be human to another person is like,
whoa,
it stuns me. Like I love it so much. I'm watching, you know, the show, The Pit.
Yes.
Have you watched it yet?
No, but I get it.
I cry every 3 seconds. Like it is unreal. I cannot get through. If I know I have to be somewhere, I cannot watch that show because I truly cannot stop crying because there's so much humanity in it and it's such good acting and it fucks me up.
Are you able to watch like the news or anything like that? Like, do you have to be like,
I tend not to. I try to just like, you know, dip in, dip out.
Okay, yeah. Cause I wasn't sure if like it can be so.
It can be overwhelming. Yeah.
It's like
everything that's going on in the world is kind of overwhelming,
right.
But it's more like I just, if I see a soldier coming home from war, get the fuck
the
out of here.
Yeah.
Ugh, I don't even know what to do.
I'm in the same way. I'm big with dogs and anything with dogs. It really gets me.
Watching people hug. If I see people hugging and it's a long hug, I'll feel it in my bones.
Even if you don't know them.
Even if I don't know.
Wow. We'll go ahead and wrap up with this one, guys. Thanks so much for doing it. What change improved your life so much that you wish you'd done it sooner?
I have one, but I don't want to jump on yours if you have one.
Protein and creatine? No. somatic therapy. Going to somatic therapy.
What's that?
It's a type of therapy. It's a lot of like body work and just, I don't know. It's a new approach to therapy. I would say that, or like, certain 12-step programs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think 12-step programs are incredible.
For sure. I'm all for it. My girlfriend's a therapist.
Yeah.
That's why I ask what type of thing.
Yeah.
I would say not waking up and like going on my phone. Yeah, for sure.
Hard.
Like I just don't do that.
What do you do?
I just won't. Ideally, I just don't touch it for the first like hour.
Okay.
But I'll usually turn
on. Are you making like a really concerted effort?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
No. Or like never. I never check social media or anything for the first like hour or two of my day. Ever.
Okay.
Ever. I'll touch the phone to see if there's anything urgent I need to address, whether it's an email or a text.
Yeah.
But like I'll never jump on social media until I've like had my coffee, taken like a walk outside or anything like that. That's been a huge thing. And when people wake up and like go on TikTok, like the first thing they do, I think that's insane.
Yeah.
I
hate TikTok. Instagram though.
Right on Instagram. Like the first
but
thing
Instagram,
they do.
I don't go on Instagram to like watch videos. I go on Instagram to like check messages. Like it's not like I'm immediately just like consuming content. It's more of like checking my email kind of thing.
When people do that I don't understand. Or I shared a hotel room with a buddy on the road and he was like, first thing he woke up, like eye mask off, TikTok on. That was
wild.
Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that I don't do that type of shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right on, guys. Thank you both so much for doing it. Do you want to let the people know where they can find you? On speaking of Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, all over TikTok. Yeah. Yeah.
TikTok, Instagram, and social media. Find us on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm on tour and I have a special coming out June 15th on my YouTube.
You guys want to throw out your @s out there? We'll have it at the bottom, but
@ Nicole Amy on everything.
@ Will Burkhart, also on everything.
Woohoo! Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with two more blindfolded comedians. So be sure to subscribe to Longtime No See wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, please leave us a review. It really does help. You can find our live events listed at longtimenoseecomedy.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week from the Gold Diggers Recording Studios in Los Angeles and the Consequence Podcast Network.